Hello, Brother Thomas.
Hey, Sister Mary. What you up to?
Well, Brother Thomas, I was just wondering, are you going to share another promise with us this week?
Well, Sister Mary, but before we receive insight of another promise, which is found in Genesis 3:15, let me set the cast of characters involved in this promise. First, the time setting is after Adam and Eve had chosen to partake of the wrong tree, being the tree of knowledge of good and evil, whose outcome would then be death. After committing the very first act of disobedience, after God had instructed them not to partake of that tree, God was walking through the garden and gathered all the guilty parties together who were involved in the deception of tricking Eve to partake of that wrong fruit. We know the story, how that there was a creature known as the serpent who tricked Eve into believing his lies about God in order to convince her into making the wrong choice of not choosing the tree of life, which would have given Adam and Eve an eternal existence and relationship with God upon the earth, within their own bodies, experiencing that all that God had created for both Adam and Eve for eternity. In all the pictures that we see of the act of deception, we see a snake crawling upon his belly, slithering within that particular tree. But this picture is wrong. Before we get into the promise, I want to correct this picture. Let us read Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. This was the curse set upon the serpent by God after the deception, which means before the deception, he was not slithering upon his belly, nor did he look like a snake, as we see snakes today, as the pictures and paintings show us. And if he was not crawling, then he must have had legs before the curse was placed upon him. We also know, besides Adam and Eve, he could also speak. So, what did the serpent look like before the deception? And where did we go to get any clues? Well, of course, the only place that we can go is the Word of God, or the Scriptures. Notice in the verse that we read in Genesis 3:15 that God said that he would be cursed above all cattle. The word cattle in the Hebrew is the word quadrupeds, which, if you look it up, means four legs. God was talking to the serpent before his curse, who had four legs, and Eve was also speaking to an animal that was not slithering upon his stomach, but who had four legs. So a true picture of the serpent speaking to Eve would be an animal who had four legs, to whom God spoke to, saying he was going to do a total transformation by removing his legs and changing his mode of transportation to a slithering upon his belly. Notice God identifies the serpent as being part of the cattle family, or the bison family. Could he have had horns? Yes, that's possible. Could he have had the appearance of a buffalo type appearance? Yes, that's possible also. But before the transformation, he did not slither upon his belly. Now, let's look at the other part of this transformation that we find in Genesis. It says that he would eat the dust of the earth. The snake, as we know of today, has a forked tongue. If you approach him, that tongue flicks in and out very rapidly. It is not a stinger, it is a peeler, and also an instrument by which objects are also smelled by the snake. It carries and picks up tiny dust particles in the air and bits of anything it touches back into two little cavities in the forward part of the roof of his mouth. These cavities are known as Jacobson's organs. Snakes apparently cannot taste, but can smell, either with the nose alone or with Jacobson's organs, assisted by the tongue. But why is the tongue forked? Well, so that the snake can smell in stereo. Each point on the tip of the tongue, if an odor is stronger on one side, the snake can tell which direction the odor is coming from. If it's stronger on the left side of his forked tongue, he goes to the left. If the odor is stronger on the right side of the forked tongue, then he goes to the right. This comes in handy for tracking prey, following the trail of a mate, or finding the way to a den where snakes are gathering for winter. Now notice, when did the serpent begin to eat the dust of the earth? And when did the serpent acquire a forked tongue? According to the scriptures, he acquired the forked tongue and began the process of partaking of the dust of the earth after the temptation. So when did the serpent begin to look in appearance as the snakes that we see today, feathering upon his belly, partaking of the dust particles upon the earth? And when did he lose his legs and then acquired his forked tongue? Well, his total transformation took place after he had spoken to Adam and Eve, and after they had both eaten of that wrong tree, bringing death on themselves and to the whole human race. It wasn't until Genesis 3:15, where God had brought all the guilty parties together and sentenced them and placed a curse upon all those involved, being Adam, Eve, and the serpent. So next time you see a picture of this famous event, and you see a slithering snake, you now know the truth. And just use your imagination and place a four-legged animal there in place of him. Now let's gather the ones involved in this dramatic scene of human history. We have Adam, Eve, the four-legged serpent, and there is one whose presence is not visible, to whom I believe God speaks to when he speaks to the serpent, and that is the one and only Satan, or the devil. Was the serpent Satan? I would say no. The serpent was a created being of God. And when God made each beast, he made them male and female. So the one talking to Eve was only one of the pair that God created in Genesis 3:1. It states that he was more sly or deceptive than any beast God had made. But what I do believe is that he surrendered himself to be used as an instrument of our invisible guest, Satan. Just as Judas did in the betrayal of Christ. Luke 22:2 says, "And the chief priests and scribes sought how that they might kill him," referring to Christ. "Then entered Satan into Judas, and Judas was Satan possessed. He gave into the thoughts and suggestions of Satan to deliver Christ Jesus to his accusers." So I believe also that the serpent gave over his will to be used by Satan. I believe Satan entered into the serpent and used him as the instrument of Adam and Eve and the whole human race's downfall. The serpent was not a simple creature, but was very intelligent, with the ability to reason just as man, and also having the ability of self-will, and the ability to choose, and to make decisions just as man. Listen to his conversation with Eve as he by reason spins his web and snare to entrap Eve in Genesis chapter 2. why did the serpent allow himself to be used in such a way? Well, we may never know in this lifetime, but maybe out of jealousy towards man's relationship with God. Also, we have in Scripture where Satan is also referred to as that old serpent, Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. 4 times in Revelation was Satan referred to as that old serpent. In the Gospel of John, Christ speaks of Satan as being a murderer from the beginning. When did Satan murder anyone? When he deceived Eve to disobey God and brought sin unto all men. And by that one sin, death also fell upon all who were birthed into this world. Satan was not a serpent, but is called that old serpent because of his part that he played in that tragic scene with Adam and Eve. So when God was dishing out the curse of the serpent, he was also speaking to Satan, that invisible guest. You understand, Sister Mary?
Yes, Brother Thomas, thank you. If you would like a tape or CD of today's lesson, please write to promiseofgod.net, 545 Big Leaf Road, San Antonio, Texas, 78264. Or email us at t_sal@sbcglobal.net. Or you may call area code 210-626-1416. With your request for any of the broadcast lessons or questions or comments. See you next time at the promiseofgod.net.